The title of my message, I Will. The definition of I is a pronoun, and it means the person speaking or writing. The will has several definitions. I means the person speaking or writing. Will, it's the power that the mind has to choose. It's a noun. We can choose or decide or control one's own actions. Supplemental to that, you can have a weak will. You can have a strong will. It can be used as an adjective in that way. Or a free will. God gives us free will. The second definition is something wished or ordered. You can wish for, we can will that we have something. I will that I would have a nice Corvette someday, but I had one that rode like a tank, so I sold it. Another definition of will is the way that one feels about others. That can be goodwill towards others or bad will. The fifth definition is a legal paper, which divides up your inheritance or what you're giving to your family or friends or church or whatever you're doing with your stuff, written in a will. Also, a will can be a helping verb used after other verbs or along with other verbs in speaking about the future. It amplifies things about the future. I'm breaking this down into basically four parts, and then I added a fifth part. And we're going to cover God's will, some of it as he stated in the scriptures. The second part would be Satan's will, as he states in the scriptures. I want to touch on some of the will of the heroes of faith. Not all of them, but some of them. I probably got way more material than I need, but I'd rather have too much and short-circuit some of it than run out. And our will, your will, my will, what we will. My specific purpose is to reveal God's unbreakable promises and our responsibility in light of those promises, what we need to do. And then I added a fifth part on the sovereignty of God. I'll wait and give you the definition of sovereignty when we get to that point. I heard a person on the television talking about will. I will, I will, I will. And they were talking about Satan. And Satan, I will, I will, I will, a lot in the scriptures. So I went to the computer and I have a Power Bible CD program that Mr. Lambert gave to me. But if you want to search something, which I chose to search I will, I clicked on it and I chose to do God's will first. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to go up through the scriptures from this point, and then we'll jump around some. But initially, in God's I wills, I chose to start here and follow up through. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him. God made a statement, I will. Did he fulfill that statement? Thankfully he did, because we are all here because of Eve. And because God made Eve as a helpmate for Adam. Genesis 3, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15. God says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, talking about Satan, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So we've seen throughout our church existence the enmity that God put between Eve and Satan, between her seed and his seed. Ultimately, her seed became Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, soon coming Lord and King. Genesis 6, most of these you all have heard the story, so we're just going to kind of skip through and touch the highlights on the I wills. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7. This is approaching the time of the flood. Things had gone south in just six chapters of Genesis. Some time had passed, and God saw the wickedest man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Rapidly approaching where we are today. We're rapidly approaching that point. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repents me that I have made them. Did that happen? God promised? Yeah. Genesis 7 and verse 4. And yet, for yet 7 days, and I will, God saying, cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. A lot of people dispute that happened. I don't have a doubt, not the slightest doubt, that this happened. Exactly as he said. Genesis 8 and verse 21. Genesis 8 and verse 21. And this was after, and Noah built an ark in verse 20, building an altar unto the Lord after the flood, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. But neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Genesis 9, starting in verse 11. God's talking about a covenant he made. Verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living thing that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that I shall bring a cloud over the earth, that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Verse 15, and I will, God saying, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to devour all flesh. Verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it. I will, God says again, I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Verse 17, and then God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. That happened? You ever seen a rainbow? Pretty regular. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. But what God says, I will do, he does. He's a God that cannot lie. He can't lie. Just impossible for him to lie. So when God says something, we need to set up, pay attention, take it to the bank, if you will. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And he's talking to Abram. He said to Abram, "Get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing." Verse 3, "And I will," God continues, "bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you, Abram, shall all the families of the earth be blessed," referring prophetically to Jesus Christ. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of God's promise way back here to Abraham. Genesis 13. We'll look at verse 16. Genesis 13, verse 16. Catch the flow back in verse 14. "The Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, north, south, east, and west. For all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever." He reverses the "I will" to a "will I." Verse 16. "And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered." Verse 17. "Arise and walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you." I will give it to you. I'm not sure we've seen the end, because I think all of the descendants, physical descendants of Abraham, that's my personal opinion, we can count. They have been numbered. They have been counted. But I think God was looking farther than just Abraham and the physical. We see the physical. We're near the end of the physical, I think. But the scripture in Isaiah says of the increase of his power and government will be no end. No end. So I think the descendants of Abraham, in the spiritual sense, are going to continue to, you can't number them. At least not as physical human beings. I think tremendous time coming. Genesis chapter 17, we're going to read 2 through 19. Genesis chapter 17, picking up in verse 2. "And I will." Abraham was 99, reconfirming the promises and the covenant to Abraham. "And I will," God saying, "make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall my name any more be called thy name, be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you." Verse 6, "And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and the kings shall come out of you." Verse 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you and to your seed after you." Verse 8, "And I will give unto you and to your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Verse 9, "And God said unto Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, therefore, and your seed after you in their generations. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, and every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of your seed, He that is born in your house, and he that is bought with money, must needs to be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. See where I got to. At Genesis 17, I was still there. Not quite. Genesis 17. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto me that is 100 years old, and that Sarah, 100 years old, that is 90 years old, shall bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael, the family feud that Mr. Bell was talking about, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. Same number of descendants that Isaac had, 12. And God says in verse 20, and I will, promise, I will make him a great nation. And we see the end results of that today. Lost my spot again. Got to quit doing this. 18. Genesis 18, beginning in verse 21. God says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, Sodom and Gomorrah. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from you to do that after this matter, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous shall be as the wicked, that be far from you. That be far from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham is calling God out for killing everybody when there might be 50 righteous people. Verse 26, the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham comes back again and answers and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto you, which am but dust and ashes. Abraham said, I'm worthless. I'm nothing. I'm dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50. Shall you destroy all the city for 5? God answered him, peradventure there should be 40 found there. He said, I will not do it for the 40. They worked God all the way down to 10. And Abraham gave up at 10. But God said, I will, or I will not destroy. In the case of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 22, some of the blessings that God promises to us. Genesis 22 and verse 17. That in blessing, God is speaking, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Obedience to God results in blessings. Genesis 31 and verse 3. And there are a lot more I wills scattered throughout this. I picked the ones that I thought might be the more interesting to us or help with the flow of what I'm trying to accomplish. Genesis 31 and verse 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So God was going to be with Jacob, and he left with Rachel and Leah. Genesis 31, verse 3, we did that. Genesis 48 and verse 4. Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, God saying, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people, and will give this land to your seed after you for an everlasting possession. So God is extending the promise, continuing to promise to the children of Abraham. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 17. We're going to read 17 and 20. God speaking, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites into a land flowing with milk and honey. So God had prophesied before that he would send them into the land of Egypt. They would be there 400 years to the day, and then he was going to bring them out. And he brought them out. You can go back through the scriptures and prove he brought them out 400 years to the very self-same day. Verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. So the afflictions of Egypt, God was going to bring them out of, and he was going to smite the land of Egypt and the Pharaoh and bring them out. Exodus 8, verses 22 and 23. Exodus 8, 22 and 23. This is when they were in Egypt and the plagues were starting to be fulfilled. And God said, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, which is where the Israelites lived, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Verse 23, and I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. So from that day forward, the Israelites didn't suffer any of the plagues that the Egyptians continually suffered one after the other. Exodus 23, starting in verse 22, we'll read through 31. Exodus 23, beginning in verse 22. And if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies. To go back and pick up a little gap in it. Verse 20, behold, I will send an angel before you and keep you in the way and bring you to the place where I've prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice, God saying. Verse 22, but if you shall indeed obey his voice, the angel's voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. My angel shall go before you and bring you in before the Amorites and the Hittites, Perizzites and Canaanites, Hivites and Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Verse 24, you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. There shall be nothing cast there young or be barren in your land, and the number of your days will I fulfill. And I will send my fear before you, and I will destroy all the people to whom you shall come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs before you, or unto you. And I will send hornets before you, and which shall drive out the Hivite, Canaanite, and Hittite from before you. And I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against you. But little by little I will drive them out from you, until you be increased and inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. A lot of ways that's similar to us once we're baptized and we receive the Holy Spirit. We don't become perfect overnight, even remotely, but little by little by little, God works with us through trials and tests. We fail, we get a do-over. He keeps changing us little by little by little. Sometimes we wish it was faster. Exodus 24, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. Did he do that? Yeah. And in this nation, up until not long ago, we had 10 commandments in courthouses all over. The Supreme Court still has the 10 commandments on the wall. They haven't quite gotten to the point of tearing that down, throwing it away yet. Exodus 29 and verse 45. Exodus 29 and verse 45. God saying, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. Let's go over to Leviticus. Look at a couple of scriptures in Leviticus before we go on. Go up to Leviticus 25. We'll start reading in verse 21. Or read just 21 in verse in chapter 25. God talking about blessings. And I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. You have a land Sabbath, and God promised in the sixth year to double your food so you have enough for the seventh year and the eighth year till your food comes in again. Leviticus 25, Leviticus 26. We'll skip down through that and read several passages. Verse 4, there are several things in Leviticus. We'll cover quite a bit of that, but verse 4, and I will give you rain in due season, the land shall yield her increase. Verse 6, and I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, none shall make you afraid. Verse 9, for I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and will establish my covenant with you. Verses 11 through 12. 11 and 12. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Verse 16 and on, for a ways, it shifts to the negative. If we don't obey, if we don't do as God instructs us. Verse 16, and I also will do this thing to you. Back up to verse 15. And if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhorred my judgment so that you will not do my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint over you terror. God promised terror. God promised that we would have events like 9/11, like Miami, like San Diego or San Francisco, no, Los Angeles area where the terrorists broke in. So many places that we have terror today. And they call it workplace violence in the military? Nah, I don't think so. But I will appoint over you terror and consumption and a burning ague that will consume your eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, your enemies shall eat it. Verse 17, and I will set my face against you. You shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall rule over you. And you shall flee when none pursues you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I had always read this for years and years and years. Seven times. I'll punish you seven times. So you get a punishment. Say you get 10 swats with a large stick. The next time you do it, you get 20 or 7 times 10 is 70 swats kind of thing. I thought it was a multiplication of the intensity of the punishment. I was talking to... name's gone right now, but the gentleman that's in charge of the Portuguese work at home office one time, some time back, and he said, I'm not preaching this, but I think, and this was sometime about 9/11, shortly after, that he thought seven times, which it says numerous places in the Christian, that a year is a time. So he said, I think that it's 7 years. And then if you don't listen, I'll punish you another 7 years. I think it's a possibility. 9/11, 7 years later, was a stock market crash in 2008. And 7 years later was all the hubbub we had last year, and they just barely finished. I mean, the stock market was just right teetering on the verge of total collapse last year. 7 more years? Who knows? I think it's a possibility. Something to kind of tuck away in the back of your mind and say, is this a possibility? Is this going to happen? Verse 19, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as brass and your earth, heaven as iron, your earth as brass. Pride of our power is getting drastically reduced. There were times, I can remember being in the Marine Corps, marching in Okinawa down the main streets, and this was 1958, and the kids along the street, you could see fear in their faces and on their expression. You're walking along the street, and a lot of the, when the military went by in a column, everybody had to stay on that side of the street. They couldn't cut through the column. But I remember vividly seeing fear in their eyes. We had pride in our power. And we walked just a little bit taller because we had whipped them in World War II. And I don't know that we should have, but God said he will break the pride of our power. And it's getting pretty shaky. And your strength shall be spent in vain. Your land shall not yield or increase, neither the free trees of the land yield their fruit. Trees are dying like crazy. Ash is putting their totally gone. And the ones that aren't dead are in danger of dying. The bark's coming off. It's just a terrible mess. We spent our strength in vain. How much money have we spent in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan? What are we gaining? We didn't gain anything. Absolutely nothing. Pulled out before the job was done. Just spending our money in vain. Verse 21, if you walk contrary unto me and will not listen to me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will send wild beasts and they'll rob you. If you not be reformed, verse 23, by these things and will still walk contrary to me, and then I will walk contrary to you and I will punish you yet seven times more for your sins. Declaring what the Bible calls sin to be mandatory in the law of the land. Just absolutely incredible. I heard two instances just this past week, and I don't remember which was which, but there was a comic who told a joke. And there was a lady who was a judge that made a statement. One of them was fined $32,000, and one of them was fined $42,000. The lady's comment, I don't know what the joke was, but it probably was not politically correct, but that's a, you know, that's squeezing in on the individual rights to self-expression. Well, it's right or wrong. The Constitution says we have a right of freedom of speech. We can say what we want to say, other than yell fire in a movie theater. But the lady was a judge, and in her official position, she was not obligated to conduct same-sex marriages. And she just made the comment, the statement, that she couldn't in good conscience do that, and it wasn't part of her job. She just said that. That she couldn't in good conscience perform a same-sex marriage. And they fined her one of those big fines. I don't remember if it was $32,000 or $40,000. It might have been reversed either way. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression, getting pretty shaky in the United States. There's a scripture that talks about, and I can't quote it exactly, but it's to the effect that in those days, or because those days were evil, the prudent kept silent. People that are prudent did not speak what they could and should speak about the law of God. Otherwise, big fine, lose your house, go to jail. A fellow out in Oregon that wouldn't bake a cake, had a bakery, wouldn't bake a cake, and they could have gone dozens and dozens of bakeries and got a cake. They wanted one from him. He said no. Lost his business, lost his house, just destroyed him for not baking a cake for someone that was connected or part of that kind of agenda. God promises curses. But then he goes on in Leviticus 26, verse 42. Leviticus 26, he does through a section of blessings, and then he goes through a section of curses, and then in verse 42, we're going to read two or three verses. Then will I, just a reverser of I will, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. And will I remember, and I will remember the land. Verse 44, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, which indicates there's a good possibility that we're going to be taken over as a nation and be carried away captive to the nations of our enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. Verse 45, but I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt and into the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. I'm going to skip some of these. I'm running out of time already, and I'm on page 2 of 7. We might go some faster than that. Satan, we're going to pick him up a little bit on a negative note, but his first I will is almost that. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, it carries the essence of what I wanted to get across. After Satan told Eve she could eat of the tree that was forbidden, and she said, God said, I can't. And Satan said, she said, you couldn't eat it or even touch it, lest I die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Complete, total lie. You shall not. Exodus 15, verse 9. Exodus 15 and verse 9. This is talking about the time when they came up out of Egypt. And at first it didn't strike me like it did after I read it a time or two, but Exodus 15 and verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue you, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw up my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Obviously talking about the Pharaoh coming after the Israelites as they were leaving Egypt. But who is the Pharaoh a type of? Pharaoh is a type of Satan. He typified Satan. So when you apply that to Satan, the enemy has said, who's our enemy? Satan's our enemy. The enemy has said, I will pursue you. I will overtake. I will divide my spoil. So it applies both to the Pharaoh of Egypt and to Satan, the god of this world. Ezekiel 28. See, this is a lot shorter section. Ezekiel 28. Verse 12. Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, You seal up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in the garden, in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. Obviously not a human being. List all through those. The workmanship of your tablets and of your pipes was prepared in you from the day that you were created. So this is a created being. But it shows that he was the one who wanted to go up to heaven and knock God off of his throne. I think it might be back in the Isaiah 14. I think I skipped that. Was a bunch of his I wills. Isaiah 14 and verse 12, talking about the same being. Verse 12, How are you fallen from heaven, O Hillel, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will. Some of Satan's I wills. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. God says, Yet you shall be brought down to hell. Satan's I wills didn't come out so good. Didn't turn out too well for him. He made a good stab at it, but he didn't get there. He couldn't fulfill what he says, I will. He couldn't do. Matthew chapter 4, talking about the testing of Jesus Christ by Satan, after he was baptized and went up, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, which to me is, I fasted a couple, 3 days and nights, but 40, I don't know. I'd probably long since die from that. But anyway, Matthew 4, verses 8 and 9. And again, the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He was showing futuristically, I think, but even back at that time, Rome and all its glory, and Persia and all its glory, was pretty impressive. China, at that time, was a huge nation. And the devil said unto him, All these things will I, or I will, give to you. But he had an if you will fall down and worship me. Christ told him where to go. Get you hence, for it's written. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. We won't turn there, but it basically covers the same information, but Satan makes a promise and adds, if you do this, then I'll do that. But he's been a liar from the beginning. Would he have followed through? I don't know. But it would have put him in charge ahead of Jesus Christ. So Jesus could not have been the king of the earth that he's going to be. There's several ungodly men. I'd like to touch on a couple of them. 1 Kings 1, verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5. So there are a lot of I wills throughout the scripture, and some of them don't come out too good. 1 Kings 1 and chapter 5. And Adonijah, the son of Haggai, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. I will. And he prepared himself chariots and horsemen and 50 horses and 50 men to run before him. He didn't make out so good. Ended up dead. 1 Kings 14, 12, verse 14. 1 Kings 12 and verse 14. Talking about Jeroboam. And all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me on the third day. So they wanted release from what the government had been doing to them. And this guy got counsel from the wrong people. Verse 14, and he spoke unto them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. And I will add to your rope. I'll make it worse. My father also chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not to the people, for the cause was from the Eternal, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So he said, I will. But he just made it worse. And he willed that he made it worse. Let's look at Mark 6. Another I will that didn't turn out quite so good. Mark 6. I'll pick it up in verse 22. Mark 6 and verse 22. When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said to the damsel, ask me whatsoever you will, and I will give it to you. I will give it to you, even up to the half of my kingdom. Bad mistake. Bad mistake. She went and counseled with her mother. Her mother said she hated John the Baptist. She said, I want the head of John the Baptist. In a charger. The girl hastened from that point back to Herod. He said, okay, you can have it. Because he didn't dare lose face with all the people that were there in the meeting banquet with him. Another bad choice. A couple three of these. I got the top of my page. Number four, consider the time, and we're waning on the time, so I'm just going to touch on a couple. One in particular, I listed the heroes of faith and picked out several of them. One I'm just going to touch on is Jacob in Genesis 28, verse 22, where he said, I will surely give the tenth to you. And he's talking to God, if you will be with me as you said you would, I will surely give you the tenth or the tithe. Another place he said he'd serve Laban 7 years for Rachel. After that he got Leah. That would be a shock. But Samson, pretty interesting one. Judges 16 and verse 20. Judges 16 and verse 20. Samson had been tested several times by Delilah to get him to tell her what a secret of his strength was. And he had always told her something and it wasn't really quite the truth, and she tied him with rope, special ropes and all kinds of things, and every time she'd holler, "The Philistines are upon you," and he'd jump up and pop the whatever binding they had done, and out the door he'd go and destroy the Philistines. But here, he had told her all his heart about his hair. And she had him sleep, and she cut his hair. She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man, called him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she said in verse 20, "The Philistines be upon you, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." Pretty powerful statement. I will go out there and shake myself and just destroy the Philistines. But it goes on to say in that same verse, "And he wist not." Wist is an old English word that means he did not understand, he didn't comprehend, he didn't know. I wist, I did not know, that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. It was gone. And he didn't know it was gone. That's scary for us. To have someone as powerful and imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit as Samson and didn't even know it was gone. Could we? Could we lose the power of the Holy Spirit that easy? Judging from this, I think we probably could. I think we probably could. We need to be very, very careful. Not going to go through this, but Daniel 3, verse 17, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Supposed to bow down before the king and his idol. And they said in verse 17, "He," or God, "will deliver us. But if not," verse 18, "if not, if God doesn't deliver us, we still will not bow down before you." So they had faith, they had confidence that God was able, would do it, and if not, it didn't matter. They were going to follow through on what they said they were going to do. They were going to follow God no matter what, if it cost them their life. They realized the spiritual is more important than the physical. I'm going to skim over some more of these because I don't want to run us over time, but in the New Testament, one of the first places in Matthew 8 and verse 19, you can look it up later, Peter is saying, "I will follow you. I will. Wherever you go." And he didn't. Even to death, he said, he wouldn't, didn't. Paul in Acts 18:6, we'll take a look at that. Back up to verse 5. "And Silas and Timaeus were come from Macedonia. Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed Paul, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles." So Paul fulfilled on his "I wills." John chapter 20 and verse 25. One of the more interesting ones, but John 20 and verse 25. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said of them, except that I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the point print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Later, Christ shows up. He touches him, puts his hand in his side. Thomas said, I believe. Christ said, blessed are you who believe because you see. But many will be blessed, paraphrasing, who believe on my word and never have seen. We know that God has made many promises. We've touched on some of them today. And I wanted to go back to and reflect on this fifth part of this message, the sovereignty of God. Sovereign, a definition of sovereign, is the highest in power or rank or is supreme. God, without question, is supreme. Second definition, is not controlled by others. It's independent. Doesn't matter what we think, say, do. God's in control, God's in charge, and there's no question. Definition number three, he's greater than all others. Ruler, king, queen, emperor, doesn't matter in the physical, God is greater. Sovereignty. Sovereignty is the rank or the power of a sovereign. So God has sovereignty. He is sovereign. We have to keep that in mind as we go through this life. We've looked at many scriptures, both Old and New Testament, that show what God's will and desire is. Shows what he has promised. And as a God who cannot lie, we know that he has fulfilled what he said in the past. We've seen that. We've read scriptures today that he said, I will. And we can see in history and see in our lives today, these things happened. They are happening now. God is active. He's alive and well. We know that he fulfilled what he promised in the past. We also know that he will fulfill what he has promised to us in the future. We can take that to the bank also, as the saying goes. I'd like to read next to last scripture, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Seems fairly obvious there that he's talking about spiritual food, Word of God. What we have in here. We need to eat that, seek it, buy it, if necessary. Scripture also says, freely you have been given, freely give. So it doesn't cost us that much, but there is a cost to following God. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander before the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and nations that knew not you shall run unto you because of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Speaking of the millennial rule when all nations will go up to Jerusalem. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. There's a charge in this to us to hear, and a responsibility to understand and do. In the Hebrew, hear, in this verse and several other places where it talks about hearing God, implies a deep understanding, a total mental acceptance and agreement with God's words of promise and the way that we should live our lives in harmony with others, both within the church and out in society. This passage gives us an overall and a continuous solution to our own weaknesses. We must do our part by faith, which is to allow Him, God, to be sovereign in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, and in all of our relationships. Gives all kinds of instructions, brethren in the church, Matthew 18, how we should handle disputes among our brethren. God says, become you perfect as I am perfect. Quite a challenge. Quite a challenge. But we need to be struggling, striving for that. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Breaking into the middle of it, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, Paul's referring to Jesus Christ, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you. It's a promise. I will. Never. I will. Each year at the Passover, we renew our commitment to our baptismal vows, our promise to God that we would be faithful. Every year, we do that. And as I'm getting older, it seems like every year it's a little more meaningful to me because I realize how far I have yet to go. And if it was not, and I have thought numerous times and probably mentioned this in other messages, but if I was the only man and you were the only man or you were the only man or you were the only lady on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ had to die for you, had to die for me. If I was the only one, he had to die or we would have been wiped out. That's pretty amazing thought to me to realize the magnitude. And he died for everybody. Everybody. All can come to Jesus Christ, be made alive. Also, Revelation 2 and 3, the letters to Jesus, to the churches, Jesus Christ has several I wills, many I wills in there, to us, to promises to us as members of the church. Jesus Christ has promised to return. The disciples thought, he's coming soon. Coming soon. Paul even indicated in his writings that he thought Christ was going to return in his lifetime. It's been about almost 2,000 years. So it's definitely 2,000 years sooner, closer, than when he thought it was going to be. That 2,000 years makes it much closer now than then. Time is short. Mr. Herbert Armstrong talked a lot about the King of the North and the King of the South. And we see them coming to the fore. We can expect very soon, if it hasn't happened secretly already, which I don't think, but it could have, a 7-year peace deal between the King of the North and the King of the South, or two individuals that represent them. After this peace deal is ratified, 3.5 years, they're going to break it, because they sat down and lie to one another according to the scripture. They both have deceit in their heart when they make the deal. After 3.5 years, it's broken. Two witnesses come to the fore after the break. They prophesy, do miracles, 3.5 years. They're dead, 3.5 days, and the streets of Jerusalem be resurrected, and Christ is back. It's that short. Once we see the peace deal, or if it's already signed, it could be, which I don't really think, that it's signed in secret, and we've got 7 years. But it's pretty close, I think, really close. When Christ comes back, he said, "Will I find faith on the earth?" Brethren, what we need to consider our lives and think about how soon Christ is coming, and ask ourselves the question, will I hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or will I hear, and you have to ask yourself, "Depart from me." The choice is ours.